Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Santa H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, September 7th, 2015. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 161, second paragraph, beginning with, But Life Among Alcoholics Anonymous. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Hoodie R., The 12 Traditions, Donna M., and reading the literature for today are Du L., Sharon R.S., and Amy E. The share ID for Sunday, September 6th, our special edition meeting by Rebecca F., our speaker, titled Beyond Our Wildest Dream, is 7976. 7976. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Studies, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And now I will ask Hoodie R. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Hoodie.
Good morning, Santa. This is Hoodie R., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Hoodie R. Now, I will now ask Donna M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Donna.
Hey, good morning, Santa. Thank you for your service. This is Donna M., compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. Yes.
Thank you, Donna M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Everyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 161, the second paragraph, beginning with, "But Life Among the Alcoholics Anonymous." We'll be reading two paragraphs, ending with his belief in R. The first paragraph would be for comments. The first paragraph for context and comments will be focused on the second paragraph. I will now ask Du L. to get us started. Good morning, Du.
Good morning. Reading begins, "But life among Alcoholics Anonymous is more than attending gatherings and visiting hospitals, cleaning up old scrapes, helping to settle family differences, explaining the disinherited son to his irate parents, lending money and securing jobs for each other when justified. These are everyday occurrences. No one is too discredited or has sunk too low to be welcomed cordially, if he means business. Social distinctions, petty rivalries, and jealousies, these are all left out of continence. Being wrecked in the same vessel, being restored and united under one God, with hearts and minds attend to the welfare of others. The things which matter so much to some people no longer signify much to them. How could they? Under only slightly different conditions, the same thing is taking place in many eastern cities. In one of these, there was a well-known hospital for the treatment of alcohol and drug addiction. 6 years ago, one of our number was a patient there. Many of us felt for the first time the presence and power of God within its walls. We are greatly indebted to the doctor in attendance there, for he, although it might be prejudice his own work, has told us of his belief in ours." Good morning. This is Duell, recovered compulsive overeater. And you know, it talks about, you know, under slightly different conditions. What are the different conditions? Well, you know, the paragraph before that was talking about how to bring this message in an informal gathering, you know, to families, to friends, to workplaces to different places there. But now they're saying these different conditions is that the setting is more of an informal setting. It's going to be at a hospital. And this well-known hospital, as we know, it's the Towns Hospital on Park Avenue in New York City. And, you know, 6 years ago, one of our patients, which was Bill W., came into that attendance, and this doctor that's talking about is Dr. Silkworth. And it says, the sentence I want to focus on, it says, many of us felt for the first time the presence and power of God within its walls. Well, why was that? Because, you know, for the very first time in history, people were starting to recover. People were starting to put down the alcohol and start to work a program where they would be restored to the same way of thinking and the same way of drinking. And for us, it's the same way of eating, right? And so if we apply the same program, it will have the same results. And this doctor, he was counted as a medical saint because he brought the idea that, you know, that there was an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind, and that through this spiritual work, through getting connected with a higher power, that people can restore. And then he put it to the test with the alcoholics to see if that would happen. And in the doctor's opinion, it says that with some misgiving, they consented to these people going through the hospital and talking yet to other alcoholics. And they waited to see if the results would happen. At least this doctor, before he signed his Hancock on this document called the doctor's opinion, he waited a while. He waited a couple of years before to see what the result was. And sure enough, it did work. But in the meantime, he kept advocating for these alcoholics. And what does advocate mean? According to the dictionary, I just want to look it up here for a minute. It says to support those who defend or believe in our cause or an idea. And that's what this doctor did. He believed in our cause and in our idea. And he took a part in helping these alcoholics to come to the 12 steps. And I'm personally grateful, because if he didn't do that, I would not be here today, you know, with these 12 steps. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Duell. Now, who would like to share? Who would like to comment on that second paragraph that was just read?
Nessa R.
Nessa R. Anyone else? Well, Nessa R., you can get us started. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. I'm sorry. Who else came in?
Angela D. from Upper Westchester. Thank you.
Angela D. I have Nessa R., Angela D. Anyone else would like to comment? Amy E.
Stephanie C.
Stephanie
C.
C.
This is Deborah W. from Grand Rapids. Hello.
Deborah W.
Larry.
Larry K. Okay, we'll get started with that. Thank you all. We have Nessa R., Angela D., Amy E., Stephanie C., Deborah W., and Larry K. Nessa R., good morning. You're up first.
Hi, good morning. My name is Nessa R., recovered in Toronto, Canada. My kids go back to school tomorrow, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to listen to the meeting live much longer. So it's been great to be on live this summer. What a privilege. So it looks like it's going to be back to listening to the recordings for me, at least on a regular basis. But I'm so glad that I'm kind of leading off with this paragraph, which is the same is taking place in many eastern cities, because this coming Wednesday we're starting a big book study meeting here in Toronto, and I'm very, very excited about it. There's lots of meetings in Toronto of all kinds of food addiction fellowships, including OA, many, many meetings. And none of them, in my opinion, is truly strong. You know, there's in some of them a lot of abstinence, but they're overly focused on the tools and on the abstinence. And even the ones who read from the big book, it's not really a big book study. It's more like, you know, let's read from the big book for 10 minutes and then let's go around and share about what's happening in our lives. And so this one, it's truly going to be paragraph by paragraph, a big book study, sharing what the instructions in the big book mean to us. And God willing, with God's help, we'll be able to spread the message that ours is a spiritual disease based on analogy of the body and obsession of the mind that can only be arrested if we do two things. Number one, putting down the food honestly, diligently, consistently, and without any loopholes. And two, working the steps in accordance with the instructions in the big book. And so I'm just very, very excited that at least we're going to be trying to carry this message to those who still suffer in this city in this way. And I am so grateful for the opportunity to have shared this summer with you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Nessa R. Angela D. Angela D.
Sorry, I took so long, couldn't get unmuted. Angela D. from Upper Westchester. Thank you for your service, Sonia. Okay. Hello?
I hear you.
Okay, honey. Thank you. Under only slightly different conditions, the same thing is taking place in many eastern cities. And as you read the rest of it, in western cities too, as we go to the next paragraph. But anyway, there's always a way to get to a meeting. All I have to do is take an action and find it. Okay? You have to find a meeting. For alcoholics, for overeaters, for druggers, they're all around the place, right? So under only slightly different conditions, the same thing is taking place in many cities. So this guy, it's Bill W., 6 years ago, talks about, many of us have felt for the first time what the presence and the power of God within the walls. When Bill W. was there, when Dr. Bob was there, when Bill D. was there, here's the doctor that's telling you, I'm telling you, he's precious. Look at this. Therefore he, although it might prejudice his own work, has told us of his belief in Oz. The door is open. These men went and worked. They didn't even have a book at that time, but they had a meeting. And when you meet with somebody else to help somebody else, that's the program. Thank God for Bill W., Bill D., Dr. Bob, and the doctor. Okay? And I sign off. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you, Angela D. Amy E., good morning.
Good morning, Santa. Good morning, fellow visionaries. Amy E. in Ohio, abstinent and grateful. Many of us have felt for the first time the presence and power of God within its walls. That just reminds me, and this is in a hospital. This is an award for alcoholics in a hospital. It just reminds me that God isn't in a church or a synagogue or out there somewhere. He is the divine third in our interactions with other people. It says in the preceding paragraph, with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others, that's where God is, in the work that I do with my heart and my mind attuned to the welfare of others. It's what the 10th, 11th, and 12th step helps me to do each and every day, to whenever I get out of sorts, to turn to God according to the instructions about working a 10th step, a spot check inventory, praying and meditating and improving my conscious contact with others, and then spreading this message to the other suffering compulsive overeater. It just humbles me to read this and to remind myself where I am to keep my heart and my mind each and every day. and that attitude of gratitude expressed in the preceding paragraph too. You know, the things which matter so much to some people no longer signify much to them. How could they? I love that question that Del W. puts to us. When I'm in the midst of fear, gripped with worry, gripped with trying to control others and get them to do what I want them to do, my ambitions, my little plans and designs, my desire to make a lot of money, be famous, be known, have a good reputation among my peers, have a big house, have a nice house. You know, how could these things matter to me when I've been plucked from the despair of compulsive overeating? Really helps me put my heart and my mind in the right place. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Amy E. Stephanie C. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Stephanie C., and I'm calling from Houston, Texas, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. I wanted to share this morning because I have actually underlined the part where it says, many of us have felt for the first time the presence and power of God within its walls. I'm really grateful that I don't actually have to be at this hospital to recover or to have found recovery, and that's what I think is so incredible about this program, how you can be anywhere and recover. I can be in the phone meeting, and I can feel the power of God within its walls, which, you know, are non-existent. I'm just looking in a room right now. I'm in my bedroom, and I can feel God by just tuning into this meeting. I can get spiritually fit and feel that connection by just listening to everybody share, because we're all together, and there's something about that collectiveness, and that I feel the presence. And I think the way that transcends from the hospital to Texas to, you know, Israel to all over, that is, there's something to be said about how powerful this program is and how long it's been working and not having to be unchanged in any way. So I really wanted to just say that anytime I go to a meeting live in person, I feel the presence and power of God within its walls. Anytime that I, you know, listen to this meeting, I feel the presence of God within, you know, the meeting. And I just think that's incredibly cool. So I really wanted to share that. And also how grateful I am that Dr. Silkworth was willing to believe and willing to do this work, because regardless of what the consequences may be. So for his work, it was just so selfless. And I just wish I can be that selfless when helping others too. So I just want to, you know, lead by his example and by everyone else on the line. And thank you so much for letting me share. And thank you for being in this meeting, because it helps me feel God when I'm not connected. So thank you so much for letting me share. Have a beautiful day, everybody.
Thank you, Stephanie C. Deborah W. Good morning, Deborah. Deborah, press star 1.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. This is Deborah W. in Grand Rapids, and I'm a compulsive overeater. It's amazing how the book is written, and you can sit and read and think and get ideas and meditate or share on just a few lines of it, and there's something that's just magical about the book. It's really amazing, and it's always like this, really, isn't it? Well, it is often for me that I can look at some things and just there's so much in it, and sometimes just in a few words. The thing that was on my mind this morning, that very first line related to Alcoholics Anonymous, is more than attending gatherings and visiting hospitals. And then he goes on to say how, you know, it's cleaning up old scrapes, helping to settle family differences. And then the last part, too, lending money and securing jobs for each other. And it wasn't specifically that, but it was more just the whole, like, there is something that happens. And I think that as a compulsive overeater sometimes, I tend to isolate, and I think I see it in sometimes others, but for sure me, I will tend to isolate. And I don't necessarily, you know, as a compulsive overeater, I wasn't out eating socially with other people. That wasn't what I did. If I was going to eat when I was in my disease thank God, a long time ago. I would have done that by myself, you know, and I don't know how other people in other programs do it, but there is a bond that you can even see visually within some other groups, and you hear it here in these comments, you know, this bond of really getting in there and helping people. And sometimes I do wonder if it has to do with a little bit, maybe it's a little bit more natural for some to bond. I don't know, but I know I have to work at it. And last night I was leaving my family, and there are some family differences, but we've worked through so much in the program. I've been able to help with that part and work through so much in the program, and I feel like God has just done a miracle. And some of those family differences just become life, you know. And when I left, what I was so glad that I was inspired to text somebody in our local program, and she right away wrote me back, and she just said, "Can you call me? We need to talk." Wasn't that nice? I was lovely, you know, and just to be able to reach out to someone, and whenever you do, or for me, whenever I do, I might reach out and need for something, then I find for some reason God has put me in that person's place too at that moment, which is how it happened, and that person needed the connection too but hadn't necessarily reached out, and I think we both had a better night because of it all. And just this whole way of living, you look at a story like this and how this person, their inspiration, helped us to get there. It's a real gift, and thanks for letting me share this morning for y'all's service. Bye.
And thank you, Deborah W., for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us. And good morning, Larry K.
Good morning, Santa. Thanks so much, Larry, a recovered compulsive reader. So, yeah, you know, it's really amazing, you know, this transformation that we make. And so here we read, you know, where it talks about, you know, in one of these, there's a well-known hospital for the treatment of alcoholic and drug addiction. And you know, what's really cool is kind of to learn about, you know, Towns Hospital. You know, this was, you know, 1917, Charles Towns founded this Manhattan hospital at the turn of the century, and it was kind of set up as a drying out facility. And what I find interesting is he wrote an article for a journal at the time, the Modern Hospital Magazine. And what he said was interesting. One of the things he asserted, and I quote, "There is no such thing as curing a case of alcoholism. There is nothing on earth you can do to prevent any human being from taking up the use of alcohol again if he wants to." So even back then, you know, in 1917, you know, there was no real, you know, treatment, you know, for these folks. And here we are, you know, here we are in 2015 as a result of, you know, as a result of Bill and having his experience at Towns Hospital and all the things that came before him, you know, from Dr. Young and then later through the Oxford Group, things being passed on to Ebby and then to Bill, that here we are today and we see, again, that we have, and Dr. Silkworth identifying the allergy of the body that I can do nothing about, and yet I have an obsession of the mind, and somehow with this, you know, with this practical program of action, with these steps, you know, that obsession of the mind for me was taken right out of me. It was extracted. It's not there, you know. And if I was cocky and felt as though I was cured, which I do not, it's one of the reasons I'm here this, you know, this morning, every morning, you know, it would be a different story, but I believe that, you know, we continue on. And, you know, many of us have felt for the first time, as it says here, the presence and power of God, you know, within its walls, our walls, if you will, here, we're on the line and we're listening to other people. It reinforces for me when I hear your voices, people who have recovered, people who are also on the beam of recovery. You know, with there's a sense of hope. We see in others what we want to have. And I was that person as well. So it's a truly amazing thing. And thank God for this program and for Alcoholics Anonymous. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry K. And thank you to everyone for being respectful of the time. And we are on page 161, sharing on that very last paragraph. Who else would like to comment on what was read?
Shelby.
I'd like to comment. It's Vasa.
Reva P.
H. Vasa. O.
Reva
P. Nancy.
Karen T.
R. Karen. C. Okay, this is who I have so far. I have Chelsea H., Vasa O, Reva P, Nancy R, and Karen C. Anyone else? All right, Chelsea H, you're up. Good morning, Chelsea.
Good morning, Santa. Thanks for your service. I'm Chelsea H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater for today. And I want to share on, we are greatly indebted to the doctor in attendance there, for he, although it might prejudice his own work, has told us of his belief in ours. And his belief in their work, my study of the book has taught me that Dr. Silkworth gave us the physical part. He gave us that whole part of our physical. And Carl Jung, as Larry shared, gave us the spiritual. So I find it interesting that we had two doctors that really are at the crux of our program, because when Roland Hazard was with Carl Jung, Dr. Carl Jung, who is, by the way, an atheist, an agnostic, so it's really interesting. That even brings more, because he gave us the spiritual part. He said on page 27 to Roland that vital spiritual experience are what were required. He said that they appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements, ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. So that's the spiritual part right there. And Roland gave it to Ebby, because Roland gave it to Ebby when Ebby told Bill that he was about to go to jail, and two men came and saved him from that. Well, that was Roland Hazard and another guy, and the judge was Roland's uncle. So this whole thing is, in my opinion, this is just my opinion now, this whole thing, the we of that, it's more than just Bill and Dr. Bob. It's a number of people that are responsible for this whole way of life that we live now. And it is a we program. And I just really find it very interesting and very rewarding, actually, for me, because the presence of the power of God, as I understand God, because that was the key that Ebby said to Bill. Why don't you choose your own conception? So I just think that this whole book, while it, yes, it might be divinely inspired, it might be all these other things, but the truth of the matter is, it is a collective body that brings us this whole spiritual way of living. And it has to do with getting rid of self and becoming other-centered for me. I'm talking for myself. But I just like to have the information, and I find that I love studying the book, and I love studying the history. And again, I just find that it's really interesting that two doctors gave us this way of life, and that one was an agnostic, naturally is close to my heart. So thank you for everybody. Thanks a lot for letting me share, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Chelsea H. And Vasa O. Good morning, Vasa.
Good morning, everyone, and I'm Vasa. Thank you, Sonia, for your service, and Vasa O, recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Massachusetts. And again, I'm just so grateful to God for bringing me into OA and to Dr. Bill and Dr. Bob and everyone else that designed this program. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And there's no graduation for me. You know, I've been coming to the program for 29 years, almost 29 years. And again, there's no graduation. The more I come, the more I learn, the more I heal. And the minute I came to OA, I felt the spirit of God there. I started connecting, you know, with people, and I felt like I was not alone. And I would have died from this disease. I had no clue what was happening with me, you know. And to learn about the allergy and the mental obsession, finally, the solution that I had, I didn't have a hope for it, you know. And I still go to my home meeting. You know, it's on Tuesday night, and it goes up and down, up and down. It's very small now, you know. And we started reading the big book right from the beginning. You know, we're trying to bring people back, you know. And I used to travel years ago. There weren't as many meetings. Now, you know, the technology, the meetings on the phone. What a gift I can get on it every morning, you know. I don't have to get dressed. I don't have to travel far away and wear and tear in my car and burning gas. And, you know, this, I just feel just as, I can get just as much on the phone meetings, just as much. I probably even more on the phone bridge on the Vision for You. So I'm so grateful for the person that led me to the meetings and, you know, my sponsor led me to God. And I remember hearing the promises at the beginning. I wanted those promises so bad. And I remember paying attention how the program worked and then the promises at the end. And they've been coming true for me one by one. And I'm so, so grateful to God and for the Vision for You and the big book and for everything. And this is it. You know, we spread it to others. You know, it breaks my heart when I see people suffering with this disease out there. And sometimes I just want to go and shake them and tell them, you know. But, you know, I can't intrude, you know, when God puts the right people, you know, when's the right time, right place, you know, then I say something, you know. And at the beginning, I was chasing people. Now I just wait for, you know, for God to show me, you know, when and how to say something. So I'm so grateful for the people that have designed this program. And I'm so grateful for everything that God has done to me in, you know, all these years. And it is a miracle for me, this is how this program works. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. And Reva P. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning. This is Reva P., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto. This paragraph makes me think of two things. First of all, it demonstrates as a vision the growth of this program. And that reminds me that when something is divinely inspired, as I believe this program is, it has a natural ripple effect, and it just multiplies and is rippled and spread on its own momentum. And, you know, as was shared previously, it's awesome to me that I got a little bookmark at one of my face-to-face meetings with the contact for this Vision for You meeting, and it's become one of the most important things in my program recently, and that we're now starting one here in Toronto. Like, right here, there's a ripple effect, because there's nothing like this, although we have tons and tons of meetings in this city. So, you know, when I'm on the beam and I'm inspired by my higher power, things unfold with God's momentum. I don't need to make things happen. It just happens because it's right, because it's divinely inspired. And that's what this is showing me about the meetings all over the Eastern Coast. The second thing that struck me is about, you know, this Dr. Silkworth, it might prejudice his own work. So he was going out of the mainstream of what the medical philosophy and protocol was for alcoholics. You know, it was totally against the grain. And he took a risk. He might not have been very popular. He might have had a lot of criticism if this whole thing just flopped. And that reminds me, when I am working the steps and in right alignment with my higher power, I am guided to do things that are right. It's not always the popular thing. It's not always the best for my ego. It's not always the best financially. You know, if I need to be honest or make amends in that area. And I do it anyway because it's right. And, you know, I just do it. So personally and professionally, I sometimes need to go out of the mainstream if I'm following my higher power's guidance and working the steps of this program. And it's so much more peaceful, which is ironic to me. So that's all I have to share, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Reva P. Nancy R., good morning.
Hi, good morning. My name is Nancy R. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I am just so grateful that my higher power led me to Overeaters Anonymous. I left, and he led me back, and I've been back since '93 because I know there's no other way for me to go, no place else for me to go. And the good news is that I don't want to go anyplace, and for that I am so grateful. I really appreciate the shares that I hear. I'm fascinated by those who have a lot of historical information to share. I want to comment on just the phrase, the presence and power of God. For a lot of years, I just felt that something was missing. I would go to meetings and I would feel that something was missing. I had the honor of working on the East Coast during the summers, and they had some very strong, what I consider strong meetings with large numbers of people. And I would sit in the meetings and try to absorb what those people had. And when I would come back to my home meetings in Chicago, I would feel that, you know, if only I could move permanently to the East Coast, I could get what they had. And, you know, I'm so happy today that I am recovered. And it doesn't matter today if I go into a meeting, if there are two people there or if there are 200 people. It really does not matter if they're talking about recovery, because I discovered that my recovery does not come from the people that are there. My recovery comes from a power greater than myself. That's one whom I choose to call God. And today I feel the presence and power of God in the meetings that I attend, because I take that power and presence with me at all times. I must stay connected to that power and that presence. And so when I go into meetings, even if the meetings are, if people are not talking about what I deem, today I've discovered I don't know that much. I don't know what God has in mind for that those people. I'm not critical anymore. I just share my truth. I share my truth. I know that God has saved me from a disease that was killing me, and it's my responsibility. I don't care what they're talking about, how off base I might think they are. When I get a chance, I share, you know, how I was, what happened, and how I am now. And I keep my pictures with me. And, you know, someone wants to see how I look before, this is how I look, this is how, because a lot of newcomers are only interested in the physical. And when I tell them I'm maintaining 100-plus pound loss since 93, you know, somebody is interested. And if not, you know, I've been reinforced what my higher power has done for me. And it's only through this program that I have really been able to find the access to the true power, the one that was able to save me. And I'm indebted to all of the old timers, to Dr. Silkworth, to everybody that is responsible for the development. I'm indebted to you who come on here every day, to all the wonderful people that God has put in my life that helped me to stay in this path one day at a time. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nancy R. And Karen C. Good morning, Karen.
Hello. It's Karen T. as in thankful, and I'm from Louisiana. And I'm so grateful to be here live. I listen a lot recorded, but it's such an honor to be here live. I want to pick up on what some other people have said about our indebtedness to Dr. Silkworth. I can just imagine
his work with alcoholism and spending his life working with alcoholics just to see them get patched up in Towns Hospital and then come back. You know, it was kind of a rotating door where alcoholics would get dried out, as someone else said, and then they'd come back. And how baffling that must have been for the doctors of that time. And it reminds me of how baffled I was by this disease. I did not have the information that Dr. Silkworth gave us, that it's the first bite, in my case, of my binge food that can set off the phenomenon of craving. And one example in my life I have for you is that I remember I lost 30 pounds, and the number got to my goal on the scale. So this was before I was in L.A., and I had dieted down and lost 30 pounds. And when the scale hit the number that I wanted, I decided that I could reward myself with a little. And so without knowing it, that was the first time I had eaten my binge food in the period that it took me to lose the 30 pounds. And so I had one helping of something. And the next day, I could not stay away. And I hated myself. The condemnation of myself, you know, Karen, you just lost 30 pounds and now you can't get a day without eating, overeating? You know, what is wrong with you? You just did it for however many months it took me to lose 30 pounds. And now you can't even have one day. What is wrong? And unbeknownst to me, I had set off the phenomenon of craving and I couldn't get one day. So, you know, this is a cunning, baffling, and powerful disease. And the information that was gathered to put AA together and to put this big book together has saved my life, has saved my life. So thank you all so much for Vision for You, and it's such an honor to be able to share this morning. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Karen T. You're welcome. Thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us this morning. We have time for approximately 2 to 3 more shares. Who else would like to comment on what was read?
This is Rosalyn C.
Rosalyn C. Anyone else would like to comment?
Penny C.
Penny C. Okay, Rosalyn C., you're up.
Hi, Santa. Rosalyn C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Ohio. I just wanted to hone in on the time of 6 years ago that one of the patients was there. It just stood out to me because of the move. It continued to grow. I mean, someone is telling someone else, and they're getting to see this movement of the alcoholics who recovered. And that had to be an awesome feeling, just an awesome event that these men and women were recovered from a seemingly hopeless disease. And that just kind of just stood out for me, and that the presence of and the power of God was there with them to I'm so speechless. I just can't even really speak on it, but it just stood out that it just is a movement that continues to grow, and not only back then, but now, today, it's more than six, and I can't even calculate, but because we see and feel and know that there is a presence of a higher power, and we experience that, that growth of the movement, we're here today on this line and on this call sharing with one another and feeling like we're in a place of home when we're together. So I just appreciate immensely the start of AA and the start of this particular meeting. And I just wanted to say that, and I'm thankful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Rosalind C. Thank you so much. Penny C. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning. Thank you, Santa. for leading this morning. Thank you, everybody who's here to make this meeting what it is. This is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater just south of Boston. I'm looking at this sentence about, you know, have feeling for the first time the presence and power of God within its walls. And this reminds me of how, you know, when I started coming to big book meetings on the phone, and then especially when I was coming to A Vision for You, and I heard the strong recovery and you know, this is so good. And gradually I'd be going to my face-to-face meeting, one I'd been to for 20-some years, and it just got to be, they're not talking about the steps. You know, I was becoming very critical of what was going on there. And instead of doing something about it, I just decided, well, I'm just not going to go to face-to-face meetings anymore. And I thank the man who said it on a special edition one morning when someone asked about that, and he said, if you're not going to your face-to-face meetings because you judge that they're not strong and they're not talking about what, you know, the steps and recovery, then what are you doing about it? And that very, very Saturday morning, I took myself back to the meeting I had been absent from for so long. And before I went, God helped me to realize that what I needed to do is to walk into that meeting, which I still do every time I go to a face-to-face meeting, saying to myself, remember, Penny, you're not here to judge or to criticize, but to share the recovery you've been so generously given. And you know what? That's exactly what I'm feeling at this point at that meeting. The presence and power of God is within those walls. And I really believe that God used me and a couple of other people to make a change in the attitude of that meeting, so that people who were talking about anything but the steps are now saying that they're in the steps and the recovery is there. And it's just miraculous. The presence of God is within those walls, and I feel it, and other people have shared that they feel it as well. So I guess my message and what I need to remember for myself is that, you know, we may be just one person, but, you know, there's that saying that let it begin with me. Let it begin with me. And if that meeting is not what I'd like it to be and they're not talking about the steps and you don't feel the presence of God, then we can bring it there. I believe that's our role, to bring it there. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny C. We have time for one more quick share before ending this meeting.
Melissa C.
I'm sorry, Melissa C?
Yes.
Good morning, Melissa.
Hi, good morning. I slept in and I woke up and it's perfect time. This is Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And yeah, I too wanted to talk about the presence and power of God within its walls. And, you know, yes, God was present in that hospital they're referring to. And God was present in my first OA meeting, in my last OA meeting this morning, you know, alongside me as I listen and participate in this meeting. You know, when I saw my sponsor one day in Lowe's, who became my sponsor in Lowe's, it was like a chance meeting. I ran into her. You know, every time I speak with one of my sponsees, God's presence and power is there. And you know, I used to feel uneasy by all the God talk. I used to need to substitute the fellowship, my sponsor, even a food plan, you know, as the higher power. And today, my conception of God has evolved and grown. And, you know, it includes the fellowship, my sponsors, all of them, past, present, and maybe even future.
It even includes my sponsees and my food plan as well. You know, all of it is my higher power. My higher power encompasses it all. You know, because God is everything or he's nothing. And to me, God is everything. And I can feel this loving connection to others today and acceptance for myself and my fellows. And, you know, when I'm asked how I've lost so much weight, I'm learning to release the fear of how others view me if I answer honestly. You know, I've had a spiritual awakening, and I have a connection to a higher power, and that's what's saving me. You know, like the doctor here who might prejudice his own work, I have a responsibility to honestly carry the message. So when people ask me, you know, I can't talk about the diet, I can't talk about the food plan, I have to talk about what recovery is. And because my recovery depends on my willingness to give it away and to share the truth. Thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. And thank you to everyone who has shared. Please join us for the second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sharon R.S. please read A Vision for You? A book is meant to be suggested only. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Santa, and good morning to all those on the line. I'm Sharon R.S. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until